Peter King joins us now, senior NFL writer, MMQB editor-in-chief. It's always great to have Peter on board on a weekly basis. Brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeremy Kitamura about a more confident retirement. Jeremy's office is in Scottsdale, Arizona, and he can be reached at 480-922-4216, 480-922-4216. What are your plans away from football when you're out here? Are you going to have any time for us to meet up or do anything, Peter? Are you going to be running every day, doing your morning run, and just doing football?
You know, Brad, I hope I would. I'd love to be able to do that. But I am right now, I've got a couple of pretty big responsibilities that week. I'm a full reporter for the NFC team at the Super Bowl. So I will be going to practice each day that the NFC team practices, which will be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then Hall of Fame voting is all day Saturday, or you know, from early in the morning probably till mid afternoon, and then got some NBC duties. It's an NBC game this year, so I'll be doing a little something on the pregame show this year. So anyway, that's sort of what my life is going to be like out in Phoenix.
Well, Santan Brewing Company or some brew pub around town. I mean, we've got to get you a craft beer or two while you're here, and you're not going to have time to see Tiger Woods. You're not going to have time to see Tiger Woods in town over on 16. I'll tell you, when Tiger committed on top of Super Bowl with 16th hole, have you ever been? You've never been to 16th tee at TPC, I'm assuming, Peter, right?
I don't know. No, I don't know anything about that. Those court. I'm not a big golfer, so I don't know. I don't know very much about it at all.
So, reading you through the years, I think it's something from a life experience. It's kind of like going to the Grand Canyon or the Daytona 500 and standing on the track. It's one of those deals, yeah. Right? Where it's a little par three and they've enclosed it. They've completely enclosed it like a stadium. And when golfers come through, they encourage the fans to get on them. If it's a bad shot, if Phil Mickelson makes a bad shot, fans boo him and yell and throw stuff. Golfers will take stuff and throw it into the crowd. It's unlike anything, and I've been doing the sports thing for 30 years, Peter. 16 is one of these places where on Wednesday when the Pro-Am is taking place, and I understand this year's Pro-Am is going to be loaded with NFL players and Hall of Famers. They're going to walk into it, and you can hear 16 when you're like 10 holes away because it's a beer fest. The fans get into it, and it's an enclosed stadium. And you've got to hit a golf shot 160 yards on a little par three. Whether you're a golf fan or not, it's just one of those cool little environments. You're not going to have time probably, but if you do, I can make it happen. We can have some fun.
So. That is really, really cool. That's a great idea. Well, everybody says that when I heard that Tiger was going to be there, they said, oh, you got to go out and see Tiger. It's just probably not on the radar in this particular week. It's too bad it wasn't a milder week or a lesser week, but there's too much stuff going on.
No, I know. On the Hall of Fame voting, where do you come down on Kurt Warner getting in year number one?
Well, I think the biggest, you know, there's going to be two issues as far as I can see with Warner. One is the kind of the brevity of his greatness, you know. That's going to be one of the issues involved. You know, the fact that you know, his career being great was really not very long, and so that will probably play against him some, despite the fact obviously he had a ridiculously you know, strong career at the time that he did play. And I think the other issue is that, as usual, we enter this day, that Saturday, with so many strong candidates from past years, who I keep saying, like Will Shields, like Charles Haley. I think those are probably the two big, names that I keep thinking. Man, those guys have got to get in because I've been on their side for a long time. And so when you go into that meeting on the Saturday before the Super Bowl, you go in with some preconceived notions And then what happens from there is always a little bit different. You can never actually see or understand all the dynamics in that room, because there are certain people who are going to make incredible cases, and you say, man, maybe I'll change my mind. Like, for instance, a few years ago, Warren Moon. I honestly, before I walked into to that meeting, I was not inclined to vote for Warren Moon. At the end of the meeting, I was. So I go in, and I never try to say, yep, absolutely, positively, I'm voting for this guy all the way. Because it could happen that I might like somebody else a little bit more. And just one other thing about this, I don't want to weigh you down with this, but
sure.
We start with 15 modern era candidates, and then the field is cut to 10. Okay, in a vote, a secret vote, and then we are told here are the 10 guys in the here are your next 10. So then we have to vote again to get it down to 5. So it isn't like we just say, okay, here are 5 guys. It doesn't work that way. You know, there are two sort of, winnowing down of the list periods. And I mean, it's a pretty long process. That meeting will probably take, eight or nine hours, really. So it's a fun process. It's a great process. And I understand everybody is maniacally concerned with the Hall of Fame. And it's obviously very difficult, and it's something that that people, you need to understand that we don't do this job flippantly. And there's a lot of people who would like to see different people vote. I totally understand that, but it's a difficult job, but it's a job that is obviously a big honor as well.
Yeah, and I've talked to Kent Summers through the years about Aeneas, because he was presenting for Aeneas Williams, and how personal he took that and the personal responsibility. I've talked to Clark Judge, I've talked to Goose, I've talked to Borges. I mean, I've talked to a lot of these voters. Are you presenting anybody this year yourself?
No, I'm not. I usually, because I'm an at-large voter, I usually am not one of the presenters. I've done it very seldom over the years. It usually goes to the person who either covered that person the most, who's in the room, and because I am kind of a national writer, I don't really have I don't have an Aeneas Williams per se.
Right. And you're not just kind of a national writer, Peter. You're a pretty big deal. So, senior NFL writer, MMQB editor-in-chief Peter King with Brad Sesmat for a couple of minutes. Peter joins us on a weekly basis. And I bring it, and I'll let it go off this, but just so you know, I bring up Kurt Warner. With Randy Johnson going into the Hall of Fame last week, I think it'd be pretty cool, two Valley residents in the same year to be honored. And so your gut is right now, and Kurt, kind of open-ended, it sounds like.
I think it's very close. I would not be at all surprised if he made it. And I remember a few years ago when we both worked at HBO, I told Chris Carter his first year out, I really thought he was going to get in, but what I said to him was, I mean, I've been in that room for, 18, 20 years at the time. I've been in this room for a long time, and I know never to predict. I mean, it's different. Dan Marino, Barry Sanders, you can predict that. But almost everybody else who comes in, it's just very, very hard to predict. Like last year, I thought Marvin Harrison would get in. More receptions than anybody other than Jerry Rice, all that stuff, that the dominant guy with Peyton Manning and all that, and he didn't get in. I thought Tony Dungy had a real good chance. He didn't get in. Same with Will Shields and Charles Haley. So
sure.
every year, there are some surprises in there.
Okay. Were you surprised with everything that has happened in Denver in the last 24 hours?
Yes. But I will say this. Jay Glazer is very close to John Fox. And when he said on Sunday that if they lose, there could be a parting of the ways, it was not. It was just, hey, heads up, put this on your radar. Mm-hmm. And he was absolutely unequivocally correct. And I think the moral of that story is that even the ones that look solid, I mean, here's a guy who's averaged 12 wins a year in 4 years in Denver. Even the ones that look solid, you better have your antennae up at the end of the year and just simply ask the question in every place, because everybody is a candidate to be fired or to part mutually. Because I do think that Fox could have stayed if he wanted to, but I also think that John Elway was interested in changing some things, and John Fox felt like he would rather go somewhere else. I think he's got a decent chance to coach the Bears. And I think John felt he'd rather go somewhere else where maybe he had a little bit more authority, even if he didn't have Peyton Manning.
What happens with Peyton Manning from your view?
Brad, I think he's going to give it a couple of months. He's going to wait to see what he feels like when healthy. He's going to wait and see whether he wants to invest time and energy for another season. My gut feeling is that unless physically he's prevented from doing so, my gut feeling is he's going to try to play again.
Todd Bowles, Atlanta or the Jets? Is it down to those two? That's what it sounds like out here, Peter.
It's a great, though you have good information on that. He is a prime candidate in both places. And honestly, I think that, in my opinion, I think Dan Quinn's going to get one job, and I think Todd Bowles is going to get the other. And I just don't know which one right now. My gut feeling is that Bowles would get the Jets and that Quinn would get Atlanta. But again, the one issue is, the one advantage that Bowles has over Quinn right now, well, there's two of them, really. One is that's Todd Bowles' defense, and obviously in Arizona. And in Seattle, that's Pete Carroll, Dan Quinn defense. And the other thing is, you know, Todd Bowles available now. Dan Quinn's not available for 2.5 weeks. Now, if they beat mm-hmm. Green Bay on Sunday. If you have a fervent, hard, passionate belief in a guy, you're going to wait. You're going to say, hey, look, we're in this for the long haul. If we can't hire him until after the Super Bowl, so be it. But there are also some teams that say, I don't want to potentially lose an offensive coordinator and a bunch of good guys on the coaching staff, so they would rather pick somebody now. But I think both of those things really work in Bowles' favor right now.
Two other things with Peter King, and we'll let him go. Senior NFL writer, MMQB editor-in-chief. I know it's not page one news. I am really rooting for Dick LeBeau to come here to Arizona just to see him and Tom Moore and Bruce. And oh my gosh, would that be fun? What do you think? Is it? I'm hearing it's a possibility. What do you think, Peter?
You know, I reached out to Dick, and I'm trying to reach him. I haven't spoken to him since the news came out on Saturday, which I don't say I was shocked, but it was that's. When Dick LeBeau leaves, and he absolutely, I'm told absolutely, he still wants to work. And my feeling is, I think he's going to work somewhere this year. I think it'd be a great fit in Arizona, but it just depends. Brad, I think the interesting question is, we're all assuming that Todd Bowles is going to get a job.
Yeah,
but at
yeah.
the end of the day, funny things can happen sometimes. Maybe Bowles will be back. So I think if you're Bruce Arians, you just have to wait and see what happens with your defensive coordinator before you say to Dick LeBeau, hey, I want you to come out and give me 2 years with this defense, if you got it in you. But, and I don't even know if Dick would come out, if he would go. So, but I definitely think that Dick would be interested if somebody on a good team who he trusts, and I know he likes Arians, if somebody on a good team would give him a chance, I would expect he'll be a coordinator again one more time in the NFL.
Before I let you go, who do you like this weekend?
I like the two home teams, but I have a sneaky feeling about both games. I think they're both. I think sometimes Seattle looks like a super team. Sometimes Seattle looks vulnerable. You know, last game of the season, the game they needed, they looked vulnerable against the Rams. And then, you know, against Carolina the other day, obviously they looked really good. Nothing would surprise me. Now, I picked Green Bay and Indianapolis back in August, so I have my fingers crossed behind my back. I'm probably picking the home teams and rooting for the visitors.
Safe travel. Stay well. We'll talk next week. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks a million, Brad. Take care.
Peter King with us for a couple of minutes, senior NFL writer, MMQB editor-in-chief. On the other side, Brian Windhorst. We're going to shift gears.